Dateline Washington, Tuesday, December 16th, 2008. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, another close look at the economy. Federal Reserve slashes interest rates once again, down to basically nothing. Will that spur lending and economic growth, or will banks still play it very close to the vest? We'll talk about that and the future of any sort of automotive industry bailout with Terry Jones of Investor's Business Daily. Also in this edition, the persecution goes on in Iraq. Yes, security is much better nationwide as a result of the surge, but Iraqi Christians are being severely persecuted. We'll talk with Carl Moeller, President and CEO of Open Doors USA. Plus, the Obama education agenda. As the president-elect names his choice for Secretary of Education, we'll talk with Neil McCluskey of the Cato Institute here in Washington about what the Obama education plans might look like. And judicial nightmares. The American Tort Reform Association is out with its list of the worst places in America to be a defendant in a civil lawsuit. All that, plus our look at Tuesday's top news, is still ahead in this edition of Dateline Washington. We begin with our look at the economy with the help of Investor's Business Daily, and we begin right now. My first guest in this edition is Terry Jones, Associate Editor at Investor's Business Daily. We want to get his thoughts on a number of important economic issues as a Tuesday rolls along. And Terry, it's always great to have you with us.
Thank you, Greg. It's good to be with you.
Well, let's start with the action of the Federal Reserve today, cutting the federal funds rate to somewhere between 0 and 0.25. Why don't we know exactly what it is? It says it's a target. Explain that for us if you can.
Well, many people mistakenly think that the Fed actually cuts interest rates. What it actually does is it manipulates a cut in interest rates by the market by adding reserves to the banks, and the banks lend those reserves, and then interest rates fall. So that's what it will be doing. It'll be putting reserves into the banks until the Fed funds rate falls to a level somewhat below 20.25% and above zero.
So in terms of what that will stimulate businesses, investors, what will this move do in their minds? Will this encourage people to expand, grow, or will it be a little more subdued than that?
I think the hope is that what it will do is it will get the banks to lend a little bit more to one another by putting a lot of reserves into the system. I think the hope is that they will start lending to one another, and once they start lending to one another, it's not very long after they'll start lending to consumers, and then we can start seeing a little bit more economic activity.
Do we see any inflation fears with the rates this low, or is the economic condition a far greater concern right now?
I think the economic condition is a far greater concern right now. Absolutely, later, sometime down the road, there's been a tremendous amount of stimulus put into the economy. $700 billion from the Treasury program. More than a trillion put in by the Fed alone, a trillion and a half just in the last year and a half. So there's an awful lot of money that has been pushed into the banking system one way or the other. And I think at some point they're going to have to come in and clean that up a little bit by issuing bonds or whatever and getting some of the liquidity out of the economy. But that's way down the road. Right now people are more concerned about declining housing market, an industrial slowdown, especially among the big three automakers. All those things are weighing heavily on people's minds, and they're worried that we're going to fall into some sort of deflationary spiral. And when you're in that kind of mode, I think the best thing you can do is just is basically cut interest rates as low as they'll go.
Terry, are we seeing any more stability on Wall Street? It seems we haven't seen the huge 500-600-700-point swings that we did a few weeks ago. Obviously, it was a pretty big day for the Dow today on the upside. Are we seeing, though, a little bit more consistency among where investors think things are going?
I think one of the things you see when you're at the bottom of a market is you see a lot of volatility. You see a lot of up and down action, big jumps and big declines, and people are very, very variable in terms of their reactions to news and things of that sort. And in the last month, we've seen that just almost to a T. You look at all the market activity, and what we've seen is big days up and big days down, and people getting very discouraged and depressed about the market activity. A lot of bad news, the Madoff stuff with this big Ponzi scheme. Things like that seem to happen right at the bottom. Now, I'm not saying that next month is going to be a lot better or anything, but I believe we are nearing a bottom in all this, and the Fed has been very, very aggressive in terms of putting money into the economy. The Treasury is not sitting on its hands. It's been coming up with as many plans as I can, quite frankly, remember my entire life, the Treasury coming up with. So I think it's it's safe to say that at least in terms of using the instruments they have at their disposal, the government isn't sitting on its hands right now.
It seems as though that the stability kind of kicked in a little bit last week. Harry Reid, when the auto bailout didn't happen in the Senate, said he dreaded to see what happened on Wall Street on Friday, and it turns out that although it was down earlier in the day, it actually ended up on the positive side. If, in fact, we are turning the corner here, and I guess time will tell, what will be some of the telltale signs, either on Wall Street or some other key economic indicators?
Well, my guess is that you'll have a 3 or 4 week rally in stocks, and that nobody will believe, and it'll be poo-pooed on the evening news as a fool's rally and all that sort of thing. I remember that happened back in the early 80s. When the economy finally turned around, it was reflected in the stock market first, and largely because stock investors are quite savvy and they're always looking forward rather than backwards. And most of us, it's just a fact. We look backwards. We look at the last 2 or 3 months. We say, "Jesus, it's been an awful time," and we get all depressed. But the fact of the matter is, at some point, you hit a bottom and things start going up again. So hopefully, we're getting close to that. I mean, it seems like the stock market has firmed quite a bit, and when Barack Obama named his economic advisory group and his cabinet, they, were quite moderate, I would say, given the fears that were prevalent during the campaign. And that, I think, has led to some sort of optimism on the part of the markets, too, thinking that, well, maybe we won't have big tax hikes and whatnot when Obama takes over in January. So, there might be some robins on the lawn here signaling spring.
Terry, of course, the one major economic situation here in Washington that seems to be being addressed by the White House right now, and that's the automotive industry bailout. As I mentioned just a moment ago, the Senate didn't go along with the $14 billion plan. Now the president is looking at something anywhere between $10 and $40 billion, although if he gets too big, he's going to need congressional authorization. We'll go through the whole process one more time. There are folks out there, including the president, including many lawmakers, who say that if one of these big three fails, well, then the economy is really going to go into a tailspin. Are a lot of investors still hanging on to see what's going to happen there?
I think investors are interested in seeing what happens there, and I think in a perverse way, I think some of them would like to see them not get a bailout, largely because I think some people are worried that this will just end up having a line of businesses stretching from here to Timbuktu with their hands out. I think one of the big concerns about this bailout is that it has to result in some kind of change for the industry, a restructuring or something. And I don't think that has been satisfied yet. And I think the market would view any deal that was made to prop up the big three automakers that didn't include some sort of incentives or insistence that they restructure and that the UAW take some and make some givebacks. I think they would view that as a very negative development, actually.
We're talking with Terry Jones, Associate Editor at Investors Business Daily. And Terry, at the same time that supporters of the bailout plan for the big three say that bankruptcy is not an option there, they're also putting together, once there's a new Congress and a new administration, what they say will be a much bigger economic stimulus package than the one we saw early in 2008, which was somewhere in the neighborhood of $160, $170 billion. Most of us got a little bit of a check back on that sort of thing. What's your sense of how big this thing could be and what's going to be in it?
From what I understand, it could be as big as $1 trillion. And one of the things that we keep hearing over and over again is that it's going to include a lot of spending on quote-unquote infrastructure, and most in particular green energy investments. There's always a certain amount of of infrastructure spending that needs to be made, and I don't think there's any objection to the fact that we need more infrastructure rather than less, and better infrastructure rather than worse. The question is whether infrastructure spending per se is the way to go if you want to spur the economy to grow. And past record of both the U.S. and countries overseas suggests that that's not a really good way to push the economy forward. You know, during the Depression, we had a huge amount of infrastructure spending, but because of disincentives in other areas, the economy continued to be very, very slow, and in fact, the Depression lasted much longer than it needed to as a result of those policies. Japan went through the same thing during the 90s when it thought it was going to spend its way out of a recession by expanding infrastructure spending, and in fact, all it ended up with is a massive amount of debt and a stagnant economy. So I think it's not the best way to go, and I think if history were to be our guide, we would be thinking more in terms of the quickest way to get an economy going again is to cut taxes, and that's been proven over and over again in study after study, including a study done by Obama's chief economic advisor, Christina Romer. She and her husband, David Romer, did a study going back to 1947 showing that a cut of 1% of GDP in taxes yields a 3% increase in GDP. That's a pretty good bang for the buck ratio, I would say.
The last 20 to 30 seconds here, Terry. How deep in debt can we go here and still look okay?
We can't go much deeper into debt and still look okay. I think we're going to be in dangerous territory next year, especially if, as some people surmise, we have a $1 trillion deficit and another trillion in the following year. That could be a very serious problem because we're going to have to face up to the fact that we have a retiring generation of baby boomers who are going to have to be cared for, and we don't have the money right now to do that.
Terry, unfortunately, that has to be the last word. As always, a great pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Terry Jones, Associate Editor at Investor's Business Daily. This is Dateline Washington.